Morning. Well, let's pray first. I want to pray for Andrew. He's pretty sick. He called me this, or texted me this weekend. He's got strep throat really bad. He's planning to be here next weekend, if everything goes well. Any others? People who left the church. Okay.
The church.
All right. So remember Marcus's and Olin. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day you've given. Thank you for this Lord's Day as we come together to worship together, to learn of you and to hear your word preached, taught. Help us to walk closer to you, continually yield ourselves to you. We pray for Brother Andrew there in Arkansas, your blessing on him. Heal his body, we pray, according to your will. Also those that have left us, many of whom made themselves our enemies, we ask your help on them. Ask you to help us to love them as we should. We also ask for your blessing on the church here. Help us to grow together in unity and in the spirit of love and peace. Endeavoring to keep that unity together. Please be with Marcus and his family and Brother Olin as they're in Florida and those that they're talking with place to place. Ask your protection on them and your spirit and words that they need to say to draw men to you. Be with us this morning as we look into your word, and also Brother David preaches, bless him. Help us be faithful. In Jesus, amen. I think we're in Psalm 89 in the Septuagint, 90 in the Masoretic text. Says a prayer of Moses, a man of God. O Lord, you became a refuge to us in generation and generation, before the mountains were made, and before the earth and the world were formed, and from everlasting to everlasting you are. Do not let man be turned back to humiliation. And you said, return, you sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday which passed, and like a watch in the night. Years shall be objects of contempt to them. In the morning let man pass by like grass. In the morning let him blossom and pass by. In the evening let him fall off, be dried up and withered. For we fainted in your wrath, and in your wrath we were troubled. You set our transgressions before you, our time in the light of your face. For all our days failed, and in your wrath we fainted. Our years were spent in thought like a spider. As for the days of our years, their span is 70 years, but if we stay strong, perhaps 80. And most of them are labor and pain. For meekness came upon us, and we shall be chastened. Who knows the power of your wrath, and who knows your anger because of your fear? So make known your right hand to us, that we may number our days, and our heart may be bound with wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And be entreated concerning your servants. We were filled with your mercy in the morning. And in all our days we greatly rejoiced and were glad. Gladden us in return for the days you humbled us, for the years we saw evil things, and behold your servants and your works, and guide their sons. And let the brightness of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the works of our hands. Starts out with that you became a refuge to us in generation and generation. Every generation, God is the refuge of that generation. Before the world was made or formed, and from everlasting to everlasting. From right now, everlasting behind us and everlasting ahead of us. In the past and in the future, you are. See, eternity, I used to think of eternity as being on and on, time after time after time after time. It just keeps going. But it really isn't. It's the absence of time. Time doesn't exist in eternity. It's just you are. Things that are eternal remain as they are. They don't age, and they, even though we talk about it like ages of time, it's kind of like that to us because we think about time, morning and evening, next day, morning and evening. But God isn't that way. Time doesn't affect him like it does us at all. Matter of fact, it goes on. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday which passed, and like a watch in the night. There were 4 watches in the night, from 6 o'clock to 9, and 9 to midnight, and midnight to 3, and 3 to 6. And there would be people either taking shifts or one man watching the whole night, and they'd be on watch and just make sure things were as they should be in the village or in the towns or whatever. But 1,000 years in God's sight are like yesterday, just like a day, and that just passed. It doesn't matter to him. Except for our benefit, it matters. Because he made time for our benefit and our use. Years shall be objects of contempt to them. In other words, years, it's almost contemptible to eternity. It doesn't have any bearing on it. It doesn't make any difference. To us, years are very important. We grow and we get older and older, and we grow up, we do whatever. We have a family, we do business, we live, we work, we strive, and we gain, and we lose, and we gain some more, and then we lose, and then we gain some more, or whatever. And it's just life. We go through this life and endure all the troubles and rejoice in all the blessings. And then we get old. And then we die. This life just goes pretty quickly. So it's foolish really to put our much importance on trying to be alive here, trying to stay here, because it's only a little while anyway. I was talking about that this week with one of my sons, and he was saying, you know, in 100 years, nobody will even hardly know that we existed other than in history of some sort. And that's true. Not one of us here. And 100 years from now, if there's still time and the earth is still the way, still going, no one will know us. It's just like your dad, Oliver Keeling. Your children never know him. Only a word. They'll only know who he was by what you've told them. And he was just a great grandpa to them. So it's strange to think about that, but we'll just never. It's just my grandpa died year after I was married, none of my children knew him. He's just a name to them. And yet, he lived for 80-some years. The time is time's that way. We just live here for a short time, and then we go to meet God, and we enter into eternity, where there is no time. And therefore, we remain just like we left, wherever that puts us, however we are. In the morning, let man pass by like grass. Like in the morning, he grows up like grass and he blossoms. He lives. He's the flowers bloom, and in the evening they fall off and dries up and they're withered. Just like a life. That's about how short life is as far as God is concerned. And then it talks about we fainted in your wrath. And I don't know what this is exactly talking about, if it was talking about the Israelites expressly, but thought about, you know, man was created to live forever. And he was in the garden. Adam and Eve were just going to live from now on. But they sinned and turned against what God commanded them to do and did their own thing. And so their days were then numbered after that. For all our days failed, and in your wrath we fainted. Our years were spent in thought like a spider. He works and he makes a web. Makes a pretty web. Some of them are very neat looking, the spiders. And that's their job. That's how they eat, is they make this web and spend all this time just making it perfect. And so it'll catch bugs so they can eat. And then along comes some boy with a stick, and all his work can be gone in a moment. Knocks the web down. And that's kind of like the way we are. We can do all this stuff and then just one day it can all be gone. Our years are 70 years and perhaps 80. Most of them are labor and pain. For meekness came upon us and we shall be chastened. Make known your right hand to us that we may number our days. We need to remember the strength of God and the power of God so that we'll fear rightly and not live foolishly. And our heart may be bound with wisdom. And he asks for mercy. We were filled with your mercy in the morning. And in all our days we greatly rejoiced and were glad. Gladden us in return for the days you humbled us. For the years we saw evil things. This may have something to do with when the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt, and they were slaves. And he's asking for them to be blessed, and according to the time that they spent in slavery. And guide your sons. And guide their sons. And behold your servants and your works. And guide their sons. And let the brightness of the Lord our God be upon us. And prosper us for the works of our hands. So, this was a prayer of Moses. Asking God's favor upon them. Even though they had sinned and turned against him. And now, he was going to lead them out of Egypt. And it's interesting that this prayer was put in the Psalms right along with other prayers. Psalms seems to be a group or a book, a compiling of prayers and songs of the people of God up until this time. And this is one of them. But one of the things I want you to retain the most is that God is eternal And he is a refuge to us in every generation. He's not just a refuge for these men in the Bible that we read about. He's not just a refuge for men in history that we've read about, or for your dad only and your mom, but he is a refuge for you and each one of us in our own situations and our own whatever we're going through. That same God is a refuge for you and all of us. So. All right. You can do your assignments now. Go ahead, Mike. You want to start?
We were supposed to find somebody who was a good son. And I had David whenever, often when there was something exciting that he would probably like to see, he just stayed behind and took care of his father's sheep.
Samuel was a good boy. He helped.
Eli
in the temple, and whenever Eli called, he'd run to him and say, "Here I am." And then one night, Samuel heard someone call, so he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And then he did that three times, and then he went to him the third time, and Eli said, "That is the Lord calling," and he should answer the voice when he hears it again. And then he went back to bed, and then he heard him call and answered.
Abel was a good son, and he learned to do what was right, and the Bible says he was righteous.
Amen. You can be excused.
We're supposed to find somebody that submitted to authority. Yeah. I thought of Joseph. He submitted to authority when he was sold into slavery. Did what was, he was a real good worker, and it would have been real easy for him to complain and being sold into slavery, but he just did what was right, and good servant for Potiphar. And then when he was thrown in jail, he still became help the guard and whatnot.
In 2 Samuel 23, King David, they're inside a battle against Philistines. King David said, "Oh, that I'd have a drink from the well of Bethlehem." And his three servants that were with him broke through the enemies and went and got his drink. Not because he told them to, just because they wanted to please their master.
It's about Gideon with his 300 men when God told him to attack the Midianites. It probably was a little hard for him. Wondered, why is God sending me with 300 men to attack thousands? But he just did it anyways and gained the victory.
I had Jonah when he was running away from God, and God had him swallow, or God sent a whale to swallow him, and he just submitted and went to Nineveh.
Jesus submitted to authority in the Garden of Gethsemane.
That boy in history that when the Roman soldier told him to carry his pack, he carried it for the mile, and then he carried it for the second mile, and then he had walked the second mile with a friend.
One time in history, there's a boy, a young man, that his father told him to go guard the gate to the wheat field, and so he and not let anybody in. So he went and guarded the gate, and then there were some horsemen come riding along, and they wanted him to let him. They wondered what he was doing, and he said he was guarding the gate and wasn't letting anybody in. And they said, he said that I'm the king and these are my nobles, let me in. But the boys still didn't let him in. And then the king said that he was good, that he was obeying his father.